Hare Krishna. So today we start with the 11th chapter. This is the Vishwarup, display of the universal form, Prabhupada calls it. And this is from the point of view of events, the most dramatic in the whole Bhagavad Gita. Now whenever there is a play or a drama or say a novel, There are different kinds of action that are there. There can be internal action, where there some thoughts of the people are described, or there can be conversations, or there can be physical actions, where maybe there is a fight or there is something like that. So in general, from the point of view of reader interest, often the action events are the most gripping. So in this, where Krishna is in a sense going to demonstrate what he has taught in the previous chapters. So the specific impetus is Arjuna's question. But Krishna presents things in such a way that even the specific question and its answer are woven into the overall narrative of the Gita. So we will see how this chapter in a sense correlates with what has been taught in the 9th and 10th chapters and is a continuation of that. So let's start with Arjuna's question. First was Arjuna vacha madanugrahaya paramam guhyam adhyatma sangitam yatvayoktam vachastena mohoyam vigato mama. So significantly here, Nashto moho smutir labdha. What Krishna will tell, what Arjuna will tell in towards the end of the Bhagavad Gita in 18.73. He is telling that partially over here. Mohoyam vigato mama. My moha has gone away. The only difference is where that comes up, Krishna, Arjuna will also give a specific call for action. Karishye vachanam tava. So here, that in case the discussion is over and the action is about to start. But here, in a sense, the discussion is not over because Arjuna has some further request to make. But Srila Prabhupada makes this point even in the 10th chapter that as far as Arjuna is concerned, he has accepted Krishna's supremacy. But he is now speaking, asking questions for the benefit of others. So, mohoyam vigato mama. That's why we will see, in general, Arjuna's questions from here onwards are not so much practical as metaphysical. See, third chapter, fifth chapter, the questions were what? You are saying this or this, what should I actually do? But now, in this chapter, can you show me the Virat Rupa? Then he will ask, which is better, is the person who meditates on the impersonal Brahman or the person who meditates on your personal form, which is better? The questions are a little more, more philosophical, not directly connected with the action. Because, in a sense, Arjuna is clear that I am going to do what Krishna wants me to do, but let me get a clearer understanding for others' benefit also. Mohoyam vigato mama. My moha is gone. And how is it gone? Madanugrahaya paramam. That actually you've shown very great mercy to me. So actually knowledge itself is a great mercy. Srila Prabhupada gives the example in the 10th canto that when scientists find some medicine which cures a lot of diseases, then which cures a disease which is killing a lot of people, then they share that medicine with others. That knowledge of making that medicine, knowledge of how that medicine cures others. Why? Because that knowledge has such a capacity to relieve people from suffering. And the discovery of that knowledge is considered to be a great breakthrough. So that, of course, is from the Arohan Pantha. From our efforts, we try to arrive at a breakthrough. But if somebody is sick, and if somebody gives him, okay, do this, you will get cured. Then that is actually, in a sense, anugraha. So there are various kinds of anugraha, mercy is there. Somebody is sick and his person is cured. But somebody has a bhavaruga, the disease of material existence, and then that is cured. That is anugrahaya paramam. That is supreme mercy. Madanugrahaya paramam. So what have you given me? Guhyam adhyatma sangitam. That you have given me the knowledge of adhyatma, which is guhya. So this correlates back to 9.1 and 2. Idam tute guhyatamam pravakshamyanasuyave. So, there also second verse also says, Raja vidya, Raja guhyam. So, guhyam adhyatma sangitam. You have given me this confidential knowledge. And how is it? Yatvayoktam vachastena. So I am grateful that you have by mercifully given this knowledge to me. And what has happened by that? My illusion has gone away. So this is a chapter which doesn't start immediately with the question. It's the request which Arjuna is going to make is, Arjuna is himself a little apprehensive of making that request. So he prefaces that request with some other statements. Now he further is describing, in a sense, his understanding of Krishna has spoken. So that shows Krishna that, okay, now I have understood this. Now can you please tell me this? Bhavapyau hi bhutanam, bhavapyau hi bhutanam, shutau vistara shomaya, shutau vistara shomaya, tvattah kamalapatraksha, tvattah kamalapatraksha, mahatmyam apichavyayam, mahatmyam apichavyayam. So this is the first and the only sort of very intimate reference to Krishna's beauty. Kamalapatraksha. There are many names which are used to address Krishna, but they are generally referring to his position or his power or his pastimes with his devotees, but directly the beauty of his physical form. There is practically no other name which refers to that. Tattaha Kamalapatraksha, O lotus-eyed one. Mahatmyam api chavyam. So in a sense, this word itself is actually bringing out the contrast between the sweetness and the greatness of God. Because to call somebody lotus eye, that is indicated sweet aspect. But this is, in this verse itself, Krishna is also telling that Bhavapya hi bhutanam sutav vistara shomaya. Bhava apya, creation and destruction. How it all happens, you have described it to me. So this is referring back to 9.8, 9 and 10. It can also refer to 8.18, 19, 20. Where it describes how Sahasra Yuga Paryantam Aharyat Brahmano Vidu. So that after, so 8th chapter basically describes the cyclic nature of the creation and destruction. That's 8.17, 18, 19 described. And in that description, the focus is not on Krishna. That same destruction, that same point is elaborated in 9.7, 8, 9 and 10 ultimately. 9.10 is Maya Adhyakshena Prakriti. 9.7, 8, 9 are describing him. Prakritim swam avashtabhya visrujami puna puna bhutagramam imam kratstam avashah prakriter vashat. So all this happening under Prakriti, and Prakriti is working under me. So Krishna has described this earlier, and shutav vistara shomaya, I have understood what you have described to me. And tathakamala, by understanding how the vast creation and destruction happens under your supervision, I am understanding your Mahatmya. And what is your Mahatmya? It is avyaya. It is imperishable. It never ends. Because the cycle of creation and destruction goes on forever and ever. But Krishna's creation, Krishna's supremacy remains forever. After describing this, and now Prabhupada says that this can correlate to various things also. Prabhupada correlates this with Aham Krishna Jagata Prabhava Pralayas Tatha. This is the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. And this theme is referred to repeatedly. That's why Arjuna is using the word Vistarasamaya repeatedly. I have heard it. Vistarasha. Now he'll describe. Evam etad yatha tattvam. Evam yatha tattvam. Atmanam parameshvara. Atmanam parameshvara. Drashtumichhamite rupam. Drashtumichhamite rupam. Aishwaram Purushottama, Aishwaram Purushottama. So this is a very significant verse which expresses Arjuna's desire. What do I want to see? Drashtumichhami. I wish to see Rupa Aishwara. You are the Purushottama. Krishna has used the word Yoga Aishwara in 9.5. Achabhutsthani bhutani pashyame yogam aishwaram bhuta bhrinna cha bhutastho mamatma bhuta bhavana. So yoga aishwarya. Now yoga in a sense means connection. So actually when Krishna, normally when we use the word yoga, it refers to connecting ourselves with God. Isn't it? That is yoga as a sadhana. That is definitely the widespread usage of the word yoga. But the word yoga also has another usage, how Krishna connects with the world. Yoga essentially means connection. So when Krishna is saying, Pashyame Yogam Aishwaram, see my inconceivable opulence of yoga, what he means is, in the previous verse he says that all living beings are sustained by me, but all living beings are not sustained by me. 9.4 says, Matsthani Sarabhutani. 9.5 says, Nacha Matsthani Bhutani. So this is the Yoga Ishwar. That I am, it's Achintya Bheda Bheda, how I am connected and not connected. So now that which is Yoga Ishwara, which is conceptually described, now Arjuna wants to have it visually perceived, visually demonstrated, so that he can perceive it. So, Drashtum Icchamite Rupam, he says that Aishwaram Purushottama, please, I desire to see it. And now he has a little apprehension. So therefore he says, in the next verse, he qualifies his request by saying, if you think I am qualified. Manyase yadi tachakyam, manyase yadi tachakyam, mayadrashtumiti prabho, mayadrashtumiti prabho, yogeshwara tato metvam, yogeshwara tato metvam, darshayatmanam avyayam, darshayatmanam avyayam. Manyase yadi tachakyam, if you think it is possible, if you think I am qualified to see it. Till now, when he has asked this question, he has not said that, if I am qualified, please answer this question. You know, he is pleased to tell this. You know, should I do this? Should I do this? But he understands that actually in general, any kind of mystical vision, it is not a matter of demanding. We can't demand. You know, just as we say, we can't demand that God come in front of us and show himself. So like that, we can't demand that God reveal some special mystical visions to us also. Therefore, manyase yadi tachakyam. But this also indicates Arjuna's humility. You know, the difference between humility and pride is that pride demands and complains. Humility begs and waits. So what does pride do? Pride demands. I must get this. I mean, no, I don't get it. Why didn't you give it to me? Pride demands and complains. Whereas humility begs and waits. And we are humble. Okay, can I get this? And I'm ready to wait till I become qualified to get it. Begs and waits. So Arjuna is exhibiting this humility when he is saying manyase yadi tachakyam maya drashtumiti prabho. So when he says this, oh prabho, you show it to me. So it's again a contrast. Tattaha kamala patraksha was there in the previous, and immediately here the word is prabho. He says, you are my intimate friend, you are lotus eyed lord, but you are also lotus eyed one, but you are also prabho. And to emphasize that Krishna, you have the capability to show this to me. So, Yogeshwara tato metvam, you are Yogeshwara. So this Yogeshwara is related to Rupamaishwara, Yogeshwara. So that actually you can reveal anything and everything to us. So here Yogeshwara refers not to yoga sadhana, it refers to yoga siddhi. You know, yes, a yogic siddhi, those who are yoga siddhis, they can do extraordinary things. Yes, so like that, you are not just a yogi, siddha yogi, but you are Yogeshwara. You are the lord of all yogis. So you can surely show it to me. Darshayatmanam avyayam. So please show me your this essential form. So now when he's requesting this, in the previous verse, there's evam etat yathatattvam. So what does this mean? You are as I see you before me. Evam etat yatha atha tvam. That means, as you are, so I see you before me. This is a significant verse because some people have the idea that actually the Virat Rupa is higher than Krishna. So Krishna says, no, as I see you, so you are. But I want to see something else also. So there's no indication anywhere. We will look at this carefully as we move forward. There's no indication in the Bhagavad Gita that the Virat Rupa is higher than Krishna. It is not that when Arjuna asks Krishna, can you show the Virat Rupa, then Krishna has to pray to the Virat Rupa, please appear now. It doesn't have to do like that. You know, Krishna just by his will makes the Virat Rupa appear, and then when Arjuna decides, please, I don't want to see this form, this is the Ugra Rupa, I want to see a Saumya Rupa, and the Virat Rupa disappears. So basically, it's Krishna is the revealer and the concealer of the Virat Rupa. The Virat Rupa is not higher. So, let's see now how Krishna responds. So actually there is a nesting effect in the description of the Virat Rupa. Because the Virat Rupa is so extraordinary that it's very difficult to make sense of it. So that's why to help one make sense of it, what is being seen is described thrice. First, Krishna will describe to Arjuna what you are going to see. Then the narrative flashes back and Sanjay describes to Dhritarashtra what Arjuna is seeing. And then after that, Arjuna describes what I am seeing. So there is a correlation between the three, but each of these visions is become somewhat more elaborate. So in this way we get a triple description of the vision. Krishna's description, Sanjay's description and Arjuna's description. And in general, actually speaking, when there is something extraordinary to be seen, if we don't have any context, we will not be able to make sense of it only. You know, there is a legend, it may or may not be true, that when the first boats came to Native America, actually when the boat came along with Columbus and others, with Amerigo Vespucci and others, when they came there, so actually the Native Americans had no conception of a boat only. So as the boat was coming from the ocean closer and closer, they were just looking at it, looking at it, looking at it, they didn't understand what it was at all. Similarly, in blindness, there is something called as incidental blindness and congenital blindness. Incidental means something which has happened by an incident later in life. Congenital means somebody is born blind. So now, if somehow by some medical breakthrough, those who are congenitally blind are cured and they get the capacity to see. Actually, they get the capacity to see, but just by getting the capacity to see, they don't get the capacity to make sense of what they are seeing. And all that they see is just a dazzling and bewildering medley. Medley means a mixture, a random mixture of just light and dark spots. So they just there are some descriptions of this also. I read a book about this. So the patient who is cured like this, so do you see anything? Just looks towards that voice, and all that is some dark patterns, some white patterns and something like that. And the patient said that, if I had not known that voices come from faces, I would not even have understood where this voice come from. So then I understood, okay, this pattern that is there, this must be a face. So you can't make any sense of anything actually. So we don't just see with our eyes, we see with our knowledge. So even when there are eyes, but there is no generally, how do we see? Based on what we have seen earlier and based on what we have heard earlier, we connect all that with what we are seeing now. But when there are no past sights, then there is nothing to connect with. And it can become quite bewildering. So often people who are congenitally blind, if by surgery they are given eyes, then they have to go through a reorientation period where they start actually learning to use their eyes. So there was a description of in that book about a worker, who used to use tools, and he was blind, and while being blind, he could cut with a knife. But when that knife was kept in front of him, he couldn't make any sense of it. Just look at it. What is this? And then when he touched it, immediately he said, "Oh, okay, this is the knife. This is the handle part. Use it and cut it." So then he was using not his eyes but his past experience to cut, and his touch sensation. So that's why it's not just a philosophical point that we may use, that some people, some atheists argue that you cannot show God, that's why you say that you have to acquire knowledge, then you can see God. It's not just a metaphysical or evasive point. Even in practical life, if we don't have the past visions and the past understanding, we cannot make sense of what we are seeing. So the same is going to happen to Arjuna, and that's why to give him a context of what he's going to see, Krishna, there is a triple prefacing. Krishna first describes, and Sanjay describes, and for us to understand, again, Arjuna also describes. So, let's see how Krishna replies to his verse. Sri Bhagavan Vacha, Sri Bhagavan Vacha, Pashyame Partha Rupani, Pashyame Partha Rupani, Shatashota Sahasrasha, Shatashota Sahasrasha, Nana Vidhani Divyani, Nana Vidhani Divyani, Nana Varna Kritinicha, Nana Varna Kritinicha. Pashya, Pashya means see. So generally, the Rupa is to be seen. So that's why you are Darshya Atmanam Yogam Avayam. He says, Darshya, I want to see. So Krishna says, Pashya. Now where is the word Pashya come earlier? Where was that? Pashyam Yogam Ishvaram. That's correct. But that Pashya is not literally in terms of seeing. Pashyata and Panduputranam. That is there. The Pashya has come primarily in the first chapter. See, we use the word Pashya. Sometimes we use the word in English also, see, to understand. I see what you are saying. You know, when somebody is saying something, I see. That means I understand. So, in the ninth chapter, when Arjuna is, Krishna is using the word Pashya Yogamaishwaram, that is more in terms of understand this. So, it is not actually a visual display. But the Pashya, Krishna speaks to Arjuna, and when he takes the two chariots in between, then it takes a Pashya, Pashyaitan Kuruniti. That's in the scripture. I think it's 1.25. Let's check the verse. That is the only verse that Krishna speaks in the first chapter. Uvacha partha pashyaitan samavetan kuruniti pashyaitan. So, Krishna takes the chariot in between the two sides and places it right in front of Bhishma and Drona, and he says, Uvacha partha pashyaitan. Just see. So that seeing led to the bewilderment of Arjuna. And similarly, this seeing will also lead to a bewilderment of Arjuna. But actually, after that seeing, Arjuna had to surrender. Arjuna was initially completely confused, but then he surrendered. Whereas this seeing will not lead to that kind of confusion, because it is within the context of Arjuna's surrender. Arjuna has already surrendered, and within the care of Krishna, he asked to see something. But both cases we see the effect in one sense is similar. That seeing leads to bewilderment. Seeing leads to bewilderment. That's why the Bhagavad Gita indicates that if you have to learn, it's not primarily by seeing. It's primarily by understanding. So Pashya, and what is he going to show? Parth Shatashota Sahasrashad Rupani. Rupa is singular, Rupani is plural. So you will see not just hundreds but sahasrasa, thousands of forms. And all these forms are Nana Vidhani Devyani. They are divine. Now the word divine in general refers to something higher. In a technical sense, we can use transcendental to refer to the spiritual and celestial to refer to the heavenly. But the word divine can refer to both. So sometimes, for example, when the word is Janma Karma Chame Divyam, there Divya refers to transcendental. Here, most of the visions that are given are of the material world and of the celestial celestial denizens like Brahmaji and the Gandharvas and Yakshas that we'll see. So here it is celestial. But Divya is a generic word. And Nana Varna Akriti Nicha. So different forms are there, Akriti and Varna. Different colors are there. So Prabhupada, divine and multicolored forms. So let's see what happens now. Krishna is describing what you will see. More specifically. Pashyadityan vasun rudran. Pashyadityan vasun rudran. Ashvinau marutastatha. Ashvinau marutastatha. Bahunya drishta purvani. Bahunya drishta purvani. Pashyashcharyani bharata. Pashyashcharyani bharata. So Pashya is describing five categories of people, but his five are representative of the various celestial residents. Aditya, Vasu, Rudra, Ashwina and Marut. They are all, if you see that 7th canto of Bhagavatam, in chapter 8, before chapter 9 in the 7th canto is Prahlad Maharaj's prayers. Before that, the various demigods and the representatives of the heavenly planets, they offer prayers. So all the Marutas offer some prayers, Ashwini Kumaras offer some prayers, Shiva offers prayers. So these are all representative of the higher people. And Krishna is emphasizing the point, this will come again, three times this comes in this 11th chapter, Adrushta Purvani. Adrushta Purvani means this has never been seen before. Krishna has shown the Virat Rupa earlier to Yashodamai twice. Twice he shows, once when he's just a small baby and she just opens his mouth to check whether he has got some teeth and he's a Virat Rupa. Another time is when he has eaten mud. And he's also shown it to Duryodhana. But in that Duryodhana's display, there was no Kala Rupa. That's why Adrushta Purvani. What you are going to see is never been seen before. Pashyashcharyani Bharata. This is amazing. Let's see what he says further. ఇహైకస్థం జగత్ కృత్స్నం ఇహైకస్థం జగత్ కృత్స్నం పశ్చాద్య సచరాచరం పశ్చాద్య సచరాచరం మమ దేహే గుడాకేశ మమ దేహే గుడాకేశ యచ్చాన్య ద్రష్టుమిచ్ఛసి యచ్చాన్య ద్రష్టుమిచ్ఛసి. So the amazing thing about the Vishwarupa is Krishna said in Ashcharyani, it's amazing. So what is amazing? In one place we can see everything. Ihaikastham jagat krutsnam. See, whenever we are placed in a particular position, that position determines our vision, and that position also limits our vision. If I'm sitting here and looking at you, I cannot see what is behind me. And similarly, if I am at a particular point in the earth, I can see only a particular scope, a particular area, depending on the range of my vision as well as the presence of external obstacles. So in general, our vision is limited. But in a sense, the darshan of Virata Rupa gives Arjuna temporary omniscience. Omniscience not in the sense that he knows everything in the hearts of everyone, but a partial omniscience where he can see everything within the universe that is happening. So that's ihai kastham jagat krishnam. And what all you want to say, pashyadhyasa characharam, moving and non-moving. See how what is described later. And where are you going to see? Mama dehe gulakesha. So actually, for the transcendental form of the Lord, there is no difference between the body and the soul. But with the Virat Rupa is like a material conceptual form. That's a mamma dehe gudakesha. And he says, what all you see? Yachanya drashtumichasi. So whatever else you may desire to see also. The Acharyas describe that because this discussion is happening on the verge of a battle, therefore naturally the question will be, what is going to happen in the battle? Although that is not a voiced question, it is an unvoiced question. Therefore, you will see that also. Yachanya drashtumichasi. You will be able to see this also. And then he describes. So he's going to reveal it. But then Krishna says, oh, now you can't see it. I'll have to do something special for you. I have to have some eye surgery. I'll give you some special vision. Natumam shakyase drashtum. Natumam shakyase drashtum. Anenaiva swachakshusha. Anenaiva swachakshusha. Divyam dadamite chakshu. Divyam dadamite chakshu. Pashyame yogam aishwaram. Pashyame yogam aishwaram. So, simple Sanskrit. Natumam shakyase drashtum. You cannot see me. It is not shakya. It is not possible for you to see me. Anenaiva, this vision, with these eyes, so chakshusha, therefore divyam dadamite chakshu, I give you these eyes, and pashyame yogamaishwaram. So this again is a connection with the previous chapter, 9th chapter, where it says there pashya was understand, now pashya is see. So see my extraordinary yoga. So again here Vishwanatha Thakur and Baldev Devachan concur more or less. They say that the vision that is given to Arjuna is not exactly a elevated vision, but it is a lowered vision. See, there is a human vision, there is a celestial vision, and there is a transcendental vision. So, at the transcendental level, one sees Krishna as, one knows Krishna to be God, but one sees Krishna also as one's very close friend. At the normal human vision, one sees Krishna simply as a another human being, as a king, as a Yadu warrior. But here, at this, so now this was the vision that most people had when Krishna was on the planet. That's why several people assisted Shishupal also when Shishupal started blaspheming Krishna. He says, why is he beginning the Agra Puja? So that is a normal human vision which people had. Now devotees like Arjuna are not deluded by this vision. They have the transcendental vision. But in this transcendental vision, the sweetness of Krishna is so dominant that his greatness is not so much perceived. So that's why now, because this Virat Rupa is manifesting the greatness of God, therefore that vision is temporarily pushed to the background and the celestial vision is given. So the devatas are normally aware of Krishna's position. At least when they are at that level of consciousness, at the celestial level, they know Vishnu is supreme. and that Vishnu has come here to perform pastimes. Although even when they see Krishna's pastime, they may get bewildered. A Brahmaji gets bewildered in the Brahma Vimola time when he sees specific pastimes. But in general, say for example, the second chapter of the 10th canto, when he is coming along with other devatas to offer prayers, at that time, he is aware of the position of the Supreme Lord. So when he is saying, So that Divya refers to, from the transcendental, he is brought to the level of the celestial. That's brought down to that level. Okay. Now, Srila Prabhupada talks about these different visions, how different devotees can have, different people can have, by quoting the famous shloka from the Brahma Vimon, just the chapter before the Brahma Vimon Lila. 13 and 14 chapters of the Brahma Vimon Lila, 10.12 is, this is a verse about how, Sakam Vijahu Kutapunya Punja, the Gopas see Krishna as just one of their friends. Now, so verses 5 to 8 was Krishna's brief preface of what is going to come. Now verses 9 to 14 are Sanjaya's description. He's preparing. So he is preparing Dhritarashtra for what is going to come. Sanjaya Vacha. Eva Muktva Tato Rajan. Mahayogeshwaro Hari. Darshayamasa Parthaya. Paramam Rupam Aishwaram. Evam Uktva Tato Rajan. So Rajan is Dhritarashtra. After having spoken thus, that person. Who is that person? Mahayogeshwaro Hari. So actually, Sanjay, see, many times, the greater a distance from a situation, the greatness becomes more apparent. Like if a bird is flying over a mountain, the bird may not realize how big the mountain is. But if we are far away from it, this mountain is so big. Isn't it? Like that, when somebody is directly interacting with God, one may not realize his greatness. But when Sanjay is far off, he's understanding what is going to happen. So that's why, whereas Arjuna refers to Krishna as Yogeshwara, Sanjay is referring to him as Mahayogeshwara. Mahayogeshwaro Hari. So what is he going to do? Darshayama Separthaya. He's going to show him. He shows him. And what is that? Paramam Rupam Aishwaram. So he's also using the word Rupaishwari. What was requested by Arjuna in 11.3. He is going to display it. He displays it. Now let us see what Sanjay says. What is that going to display?
Anekavaktranayanam. Anekadbhutadarshanam. Anekadivyabharanam. Divyanekodyatayutam. Divyamalyambaradharam. Divyagandhanulepanam. Sarvashcharyamayam devam. Sarvashcharyamayam devam. Anantam vishvatomukham. So, anekavaktranayanam.
So, actually, normally, whenever you start seeing, because this is an extraordinary, normally if there is a formal occasion when you take darshan of the Lord, you may start taking from the feet. But when there is suddenly something, you know, you don't look down. You start looking for the face. So first it is anekavaktranayanam. There are many mouths over there. And that many mouths, generally when we look at the mouth of a person, we look at the eyes and the face, smile. You know, the smiling. And what are the eyes? How is anekavaktranayanam? He said there are many eyes over there. And anek adbhuta darshanam. Very extraordinary things I am seeing. What are those things he described?
Anek divya bharanam.
Divya bharanam. Extraordinary garments are there. Abharanam is ornament. Garment.
Anek divya anek odyata ayudham.
Ayudha means the generally weapons. What is used in the hand? Ayudha. So anek divyo. So there are many divine weapons that are there. And divya malya ambar dharam. Malya is garlands. Ambar is dress. So he's dressed in garlands and garments, and there is actually able to see that generally when a person is decorated, there is not just like we wear tilak, there can be sandalwood paste, like that there is gandha.
Divya gandha anulepanam.
So this mention of gandha indicates that actually Vishwarat Rupa is a very sort of comprehensive vision. He's seeing everything over there. And sarvaascharyamayam devam. So it's sarvaashcharya. Everything of this about is amazing. Because at one time, if I see a person with 10 heads, like there's Ravana, it is quite extraordinary. There are not just 10 heads, there are hundreds of heads. And there are hundreds of hands, and there are hundreds of bodies. It's quite a mind-boggling vision. Anantam. So it's just given an indication of what is Anantam. It is unlimited. Vishvato Mukham. It's all pervading. Then he, now he's describing, okay, when you see the specific, you see the details he's saying, but the most characteristic thing is, it's extremely effulgent. Divisurya sahasrasya, Isurya sahasrasya, bhaved yuga pad uthita, bhaved yuga pad uthita, yadi bhasadrushi sasyad, bhasadrushi sasyad, bhasastasya mahatmanaha, tasya mahatmanaha. So, the sun itself is very difficult to behold because its effulgence is so great. But the sun becomes several times more effulgent at the time of destruction. And like that, if there are many suns. So, Divi Surya Sahasrasya, there are Sahasra Suryas, and Yugapada Uthita. Yugapada means when the time of Yuga changes. Yugapada, the connection. So, at that time, if many suns are arising, so what will be the effulgence? Vidibha Sadrushi Sasyad Bha is the effulgence, like Bhaskara, one who gives Bha. Bha is light. So, Yadibha Sadrushi. So, that could give us an idea of what the effulgence of this particular blaze is like. Bhasastasya Mahatmanaha. That is the effulgence. So, there was this physicist Oppenheimer who developed the atom bomb. And when he did that, actually, to describe that event, when boom, the explosion took place. Actually, in the Manhattan Project, it's called Manhattan Project. So when they were doing that, they were doing research for many, many years, and they knew that it would be a formidable force, that formidable bomb. But how big it would be, they did not have any experience. They had some conception, and they went further and further away, further and further away, further and further away, and then they waited at particular point. And boom, the explosion took place. When the explosion took place, it described that, you know, several miles around, the trees were shaken, the window panes were shattered, people got a shock. And so he saw this, so he, first when he saw the effulgence, then he quoted this verse. And then he quoted, Kalosmi Lokakshetaim, I am the destroyer of the world. So the idea was, he felt that this is a godlike power. And it is extraordinary that at one level, the development of the atomic bomb can be said to be a manifestation of man's, it's a breakthrough in man's development of technology. But at another level, it is also a testimony to the extent of power that is locked up in nature. You know, that means the idea is that even one atom, actually, an atom bomb is made. Basically, what they do is a long process. But essentially, it's like splitting up the atoms so that what is within comes out. So, within an atom, there is so much energy that it can blow up a whole city. So, that's how, actually, in a sense, it can, if seen just from the point of view of science, one can say, oh, science has advanced so much. Of course, because it's destructive, Prabhupada would say it's regressive. It's causing death. But you could see it as a manifestation of the power of science, or we could see the same thing as a manifestation of the power within nature. And where has this power in nature come from? It has ultimately come from God. So, bhasastasya mahatmanaha. That mahatma, that great soul, great person, such was his effulgence. Tatraikastham jagat krishnam, tatraikastham jagat krishnam, pravibhaktam anekadha, pravibhaktam anekadha, apashyaddeva devasya, sharire pandavastada, sharire pandavastada. So this verse is partially a reiteration of what Krishna has said. Ihaikastham, he had used, so tatraikastham. That is extraordinary. You know, normally if you have to see everything, you have to go everywhere. But in one place, tatra. So for Krishna is describing, he's here. Sanjay, it is there. Tatra ekastham. And there is ek jaga, one place, but pravibhaktam anekadha. There are many manifestations in one place. And what are those? Apashyaddeva devasya. So that person who is revealing this is Deva Deva, the Supreme Lord. And sharire, in his body, Krishna, mama dehe gudakesha, Krishna had used. So, deva devasya dehe, sharire. And who saw this? Apashyat Gudakesha. So Arjuna saw it. He goes further and describes that. So now, here he has briefly described Arjuna's vision, and now he will describe Arjuna's reaction to this vision. And Arjuna's speech comes as a part of his reaction when he starts offering his obeisances and prayers. Tatah savismaya vishto, tatah savismaya vishto, hash rishtaroma dhananjaya, rishtaroma dhananjaya, pranamya shirsa devam, pranamya shirsa devam, krutanjali rabhashata, krutanjali rabhashata. So tatah sa, therefore what happened? Vismaya vishto, he is overwhelmed by amazement. So vismaya is related with ashcharya. Amazement. So, vismaya, ashcharya, adbhuta. All these three words which are used by Krishna over here, they convey a similar import. Astonishment, amazement. And when he sees this, so in the first chapter, however, the reaction was different. Krupaya paraya vishto, vishidantamidam vasha. Krupaya paraya vishto. He was overcome by compassion. But here it is amazement. And then same reaction is rushtaroma, his hair stood up. And then what happened? Pranam shirsa devam. He offered pranam. And then he started with folded hands. He krutanjalir abhashata. He started speaking. So what he starts speaking is described in the next verse. Arjuna vacha, pashyami devam stava deva dehe, pashyami devam stava deva dehe, sarvam sathabhuta vishesh sanghan, sathabhuta vishesh sanghan, brahmanamisham kamalasanastham, brahmanamisham kamalasanastham, rushimscha sarvanurugamscha divyan, rushimscha sarvanurugamscha divyan. So, pashyami, I am able to see. Arjuna, Krishna had said, pashya, see. So, Arjuna says, I am seeing. Pashyami devam stava deva dehe. So, actually, the word deva comes twice in this line. It is not a repetition, but it is, one devams is plural. So, deva is singular, tava deva dehe. So, O Supreme Lord, in your body, what am I seeing? Devams. I am seeing many of the devatas, the demigods. So the two words are having distinct meanings. And who all are devatas? Sarvams, all devatas I am seeing. Tha bhuta vishesha sanghan. And along with the demigods, bhuta vishesha sanghan. All the different kinds of beings also I am seeing. And he is giving you a brief indication of that. Right from the top of the universe. Brahmanamisham kamala sanastham. So Brahmaji is seated on the lotus. So he is the Isha. In this creation. So I am seeing him right from that, and it described that at the bottom of the universe there is Sheshanag. And you know, he's seeing that also. Rishims Chasarvan Urugam Shadivyan. He's saying the various Rishis which are there in the various planets. And Urugam. Urugam is the divine serpent. So he's seeing that Urugam Shadivyan. So like that, what you're saying now, Yaikastham, the whole universe he's seeing, right from the topmost planet to the lowermost planet. Anek bahudar, anek bahudar vaktranetram, anek bahudar vaktranetram, pashyami tvam sarvato anantarupam, pashyami tvam sarvato anantarupam, nantam na madhyam na punastavadim, nantam na madhyam na punastavadim, pashyami vishveshvara vishvarupa, pashyami vishveshvara vishvarupa. So, although the chapter is called as Vishwarupa or Virat, the Bhagavad Gita uses the word Vishwarupa primarily. Bhagavatam refers to Virat Rupa. But this is the only verse, 11.16, where the word Vishwarupa directly comes. That word doesn't come repeatedly in this chapter, although it's understood. When Arjuna is also asking, he doesn't ask, show me the Vishwarupa. He says, Rupa Ishwara, show me. So, Krishna, but here he's saying, I'm seeing it. You are the Vishweshwara, and I am showing your Vishwarupa. So you, whatever I am seeing, you are in charge of that. And what is there in? Anek bahudar vaktranetram. The same thing which Sanjay has said. Many arms, many faces, many eyes. And sarvato anandarupam. I am seeing this everywhere. And the characteristic is? Nantam na madhyam na punastavadim. I can't understand where is the beginning, where is the middle, where is the end. It's just so vast, endless. It's something like when a person is lost in the ocean.
just everywhere that we see, just see the water only. So like that, there is no beginning, no end, no middle.
Kiritinam gadinam chakrinam cha, kiritinam gadinam chakrinam cha, tejo rashim sarvato deeptimantam, tejo rashim sarvato deeptimantam, pashyami tvam durniriksham samantat, tvam durniriksham samantat. Diptanalarkadyutimaprameyam. So, kiritinam gadinam chakrinam cha. So, kirita and gada and chakra. This is referring to the Vishnumurti. It's a slight indication over here. So, Vishnu form is there. And along with that Vishnu form, there are so many other forms also. So, kirita is helmet. Gada is mace. And chakra is the Sudarshan chakra. And tejo rashim sarvato deeptimantam. Tejo rashi is effulgent and it's illuminating all directions. So much is illumination. So what Sanjay had said earlier, hundreds of suns coming together. So Arjuna is describing it in a different way as durniriksham samanta. Niriksha is to see. Durniriksha means that which cannot be seen. So effulgent. And diptanalarka dhutimapramayam. So this whole verse is primarily focusing on the description of the immeasurability of the effulgence, which makes it very difficult to see. But he is able to discern some things. What can I see? I can see the Kirita Gadina Chakra. But apart from that, I can't see much. And then, as his description suddenly becomes a glorification. And he is described, trying to get sort of philosophical context to what is happening over here. Tvamaksharam paramam veditavyam. Aksharam paramam veditavyam. Tvamasya vishvasya param nidhanam. Tvamasya vishvasya param nidhanam. Tvamavyaya shashvata dharma gopta. Tvamavyaya shashvata dharma gopta. Sanatanastvam purusho matome. Sanatanastvam purusho matome. So, this is not so much a description of what he is seeing, but an identification of what he is seeing with what he knows. Tom, you are what? Aksharam paramam veditavyam. You are akshara, you are imperishable. You are the supreme object to be known. Paramam veditavyam. Tamasya vishvasya param nidhanam. You are the ultimate shelter of this universe after everything is destroyed. Tamavyaya shashvata dharma gopta. And it is not that you are there only as a shelter. Even when this world is existing, you are the Gopta, you are the protector. Protector of what? Dharma Gopta. Protector of religion, of order in this world. In this way you are Sanatanastvam Purushomatome. You are the supreme, eternal person, Sanatana Purusha. Anadimadhyantamanantavīryam. Anadimadhyantamanantavīryam. Anantabahum shashisuryanetram. Anantabahum shashisuryanetram. Pashyami tvam deeptahutashavaktram. Pashyami tvam deeptahutashavaktram. Svatejasa vishvamidam tapantam. Svatejasa vishvamidam tapantam. So anadi, madhya, anta. Anadi, so there is no beginning, middle or end. Again same point is repeated from earlier. Anantavīryam. Your strength is immeasurable. Anantabahum. Not only is your strength immeasurable, but even your number of arms are immeasurable. And then Shishisuryanetram. This is described in the second canto also, that the sun and the moon are the eyes of the Virat Rupa. Pashyami tvam deeptahuta shavaktram. So first time there is a description of the face, mouth. The mouth is also giving a fire out of it. Svatejasa vishwamidam tapantam. And earlier he was describing only the effulgence. Now whenever there is a source of light, that source of light gives light as well as heat. So earlier it was durniriksha, I can't see it. But now I am seeing I can feel the heat also. It's so hot. The whole universe is getting ablaze by it. Deeptahutasya vaktram. This is the first description of the mouth, and this description of the mouth will be the focus of Arjuna's perception later on. And that vision of the mouth will change Arjuna's feeling from astonishment to fear, practically terror. Because you will see that the mouth is consuming everything. But it's the first hint of the mouth. So till now Arjuna has not expressed any fear. Arjuna has just given a description and he has tried to identify what is that description. The Supreme Lord. Further he continues this.
Dhyava prithivyor idamantaram hi. Va prithivyor idamantaram hi. Vyaptam tvayaikena dishascha sarva. Vyaptam tvayaikena dishascha sarva. Drishtva adbhutam rupam ugram tavedam. Adbhutam rupam ugram tavedam. Lokatrayam pravyathitam mahatman. Lokatrayam pravyathitam mahatman.
So, Dhyava Prithivyor, Dhyava refers to sky, Prithivi is earth. So this, if this Virat Rupa is pervading from the earth up to the sky, Vyaptam, it has Vyapta all the place. So, Ekena, Dishascha Sarva. Not only is vertically it's pervading everything, but Dishascha Sarva, all directions also it is pervading. And then, Drishtva Adbhutam Rupam. So now, first time, this Rupa is not just astonishing, it is Ugram. It is fearful. It is horrifying, ugra. And what he's not saying that I have become fearful, but he's saying, oh, everybody else by seeing this has become fearful. Lokatrayam pravyathitam. Pravyathitam means they're all overwhelmed. Vyathit ho gaye. They have become fearful, troubled by it. And they describe this further. So this is the first time. Now, see, there are two distinct aspects to the Vishwarupa. Actually, when the Vishwarupa is seen, within the Vishwarupa there is Brahmaji, and Arjuna said that there are others also. But it is described that even when the Vishwarupa manifested, actually the celestial beings also saw it, and the celestial beings are reacting to it. So the celestial beings are a part of it, and they are also reacting to it. So let's see what happens.
Amihi tvam surasangha vishanti. Kechit bhita pranjalayo grinanti.
Kechit bhita pranjalayo grinanti.
Swastityuktva maharshi siddha sangha.
Swastityuktva maharshi siddha sangha.
Stuvanti tvam stuti bhi pushkalabhi.
Stuvanti tvam stuti bhi pushkalabhi.
So amihi tvam surasangha vishanti.
So, in that mouth, Surasangha Vishanti, they are all entering. And as they are entering, what is happening? Kechit Bhita. Some of them, being fearful, are Pranjalayo Grananti.
Earlier it was said Arjuna was Krutanjali.
Bhashata. So now they say they are also folding their hands in fear. And some other rishis, it is not said that the rishis are entering into the mouth. The rishis are Swasti, Shanti. Swasti is another word for Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Let there be auspiciousness. So, Swasti iti Ukta. Maharishi Siddha Sangha, Rishi Siddha saying, Stuvanti Tvam, they are trying to pacify this Lord. This form is very angry, so by offering praises, they are trying to pacify him.
Rudra Aditya Vasavo Yecha Sadhya, So Yecha Sadhya, Vishveshvinav Marutascho Smapascha, Marutascho Smapascha. Gandharva Yaksha Surasiddha Sangha, Yaksha Surasiddha Sangha. Vikshante Tvam Vismitaschaiva Sarve, Tvam Vismitaschaiva Sarve.
So he is describing various beings, Rudra, Aditya, Sadhya, Vishveshvina. Interesting word is Ushmapa. So Ushmapa is the steam eaters. Who are the steam eaters? Actually they say the Pitras. They, when water is heated, water become Ushma, then they drink that Ushmapa. So they are defined by that. So it's Ushmapascha. So Ushmapascha. Gandharva Yaksha Surasiddha Sangha. So all these people are saying, and what is that? They are also Vismit. Vikshante, they are saying with astonishment.
Rupam Mahate Bahuvaktra Netram. Mahabaho Bahubahu Rupadam. Bahubahu Rupadam. Bahudaram Bahudamishtra Karalam. Bahudamishtra Karalam. Drishtva Loka Pravetitas Tathaham.
So from this verse the transition is what he is seeing is not only describing the effect on those people, but he is describing the effect on himself also. It's like if we see some tsunami has come and destroyed people, and then the people are lamenting over there. They are devastated. And then when first we may describe, okay, this is what is happening, but then as that is happening, it will have effect on us. We will also start, oh, what terrible destruction is there. So this verse, this 23rd verse, marks a transition where Arjuna changes from a detached description of what is happening to the effect effect on him of what is happening. So pravetita, so he says pravetitas tathaham, so I am also affected by it. So bahuvaktanaiti, that form is there. Other points are more or less repeated. Drishtva loka, all the worlds are bewildered and so am I bewildered. So we'll continue with the next verse in the evening. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Tai Gaur Premanande.